Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to Homeless and Inclusion Health 2016. My name is Mark Easton. I'm delighted to have been invited back to chair this event, not least because of the urgency of the cause, of which I will have more to say in a moment. With homelessness on the rise, the importance of this symposium is without doubt. We should thank those who've helped make it happen: NHS England, Lan Kelly Chase, Crisis and Homeless Link, and for the support too of QNI, Housing Lynn and Citra. If we could just have a round of applause for the people who've made it happen. Well, as in previous years, we welcome those who cannot be with us in person, but rather, like the Oscars, are available via video link. I'm told there are people watching right now in Edinburgh, in Galway, Liverpool, and elsewhere in London. So a big hello to the millions tuning in around the world. Yes, applause for them as well. There are a couple of other notices. At the tea break or coffee break at 11:30 this morning, there will be a find and treat mobile unit parked outside for you to visit. It'll be there until 2:00, traffic wardens permitting. Do take the opportunity to have a nose around and see what all that's about. At the end of today's sessions, two honorary faculty fellowships will be awarded at the Pathway annual reception. Please do stay for that if you can. And tomorrow lunchtime, you'll see on the agenda that there'll be several round table discussions in this room. But because it's 2016, we don't call them round table discussions. We call them think pods. Think pods, but you are invited to decide what the pods should think about, so please submit your topics for those, anything you like, I don't know, sort of football, and probably around homelessness. Submit those to the registration desk before the end of today, please. There is so much, frankly, that we need to discuss, because homelessness is getting much, much worse in this country. Citizens sleeping rough on the streets is only one symptom of homelessness, but it's a powerful and disturbing evidence of the failure of the state to provide its people with that most fundamental of needs, a roof over their head. There was a time, not so very long ago, when people wondered if we were solving the problem of sleeping rough on the streets of Britain. In 1999, the Labour government set itself a target of reducing rough sleeping by 2/3 in 3 years, and they did it. In 2002, there were 585 people sleeping out, down from over 1,800 3 years earlier. And in 2008, ministers went further and set themselves a target to eradicate rough sleeping once and for all by 2012. The end of rough sleeping. They really thought they could. But then, of course, we got the crash, and the plight of bankers became a bigger priority than the plight of the homeless. Welfare reforms and austerity were seen as part of the solution to the financial crisis, but they were also exacerbating the homelessness crisis. Numbers sleeping out rose rapidly, back to around 1,800 in 2010. Almost 2,500 by 2013, and the latest figures suggest there are more than 3,500 people sleeping rough on the streets of England on any night. We've seen rough sleeping double, a 100% increase in 5 years. It rose 30% in the last year alone. I walk out of my office at the BBC in Portland Place and down towards Oxford Circus, and I now see tents pitched at the side of the road. I see men in doorways begging for small change. There are 1,000 people sleeping on the streets of the capital every night, where once there were only a couple of hundred. And of course, rough sleeping is only a small part of a much bigger crisis. The shortage of affordable housing has seen the number of households living in temporary accommodation at its highest level for 7 years. There are 3,000 families with children living in B&Bs, 100,000 children homeless in England. It is a scandal. And Parliament is slowly and belatedly waking up to it. A select committee has launched an inquiry into what's going on, the first in a decade. There is a ministerial working group to prevent and reduce homelessness, but the numbers keep on rising. And that is why this conference is so critical right now. We need answers to how we're going to look after the hundreds of thousands of people affected by homelessness, and we also need answers on how to turn the tide. Last year, at this point, I would have introduced a man who we all knew would inspire this conference with wisdom and passion and love and a couple of rubbish jokes. Tragically, and I use that word in its fullest sense, Dr. Aidan Halligan died quite unexpectedly last summer, far too early and with so much to give. We mourn his loss. But Aidan would not have wanted us to mourn for too long. We have work to do, he would say, and almost certainly exhort us to action with a quote from Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi or Oscar Wilde. He'll be remembered for many things, but Aidan was, of course, the founding chairman of Pathway, which, as you all know, does such vital work in ensuring homeless people get the health care they need. Pathway has appointed a new chair to carry on Aidan's work, and she is with us this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Morphy.